Because the walls and the gates that protected Jerusalem had been torn down and burned. And Nehemiah went and he gathered people to come and to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the doors around the temple, around Jerusalem, around the city. And halfway through the book of Nehemiah, you get to this point where now the walls have been rebuilt, and the doors have been put back into place, and then Ezra stands up in front of the water gate. And the water that they're talking about is the Word of God. And for the first time in years, the children of Israel gathered in front of that gate, and Ezra opened up the law that God had given them. And he started reading the Word of God to the people. They stood there, and they listened, and they cried out, "Amen and amen. Thank you for your Word." In that chapter of Nehemiah, chapter 8, after the Word was read, and the people were responding, and by the way, they stood the whole time. They didn't have comfy seats. They stood, and they rejoiced, and they were glad to hear the Word of God. Then Nehemiah told them, after they had heard the Word of God, these words from Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." You see what happened? They heard the Word from the Lord. They celebrate. My translation is reading out of the New Living Translation. Says they chanted together, "Amen, amen, 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 amen." They were filled with joy. And Nehemiah said, "Go celebrate now, because remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, in a totally different part of Scripture, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is chained in prison in Rome. And he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. Now, how many of you, I don't want to ask if you've been in prison. That's what I was going to ask. No hands, please. But you know, here's the point. Many times we may not be physically in a prison cell behind a bolted door, but often in our life we get ourselves into a situation where we're in a prison. We may be trapped in a sin that just beats us down time and time again. There may be relationships that we should not have a part of, and they trap us in a prison. There may be thoughts that go out of control in our lives, and we're trapped in this prison. So whether it may be a barred prison or some prison that's trapping us here on earth, Paul, as he was in prison, in chains and shackles, he writes these words in Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. There's something about the word joy that we get confused time and time and time again. How can somebody physically chained in a prison cell writing a letter of encouragement saying his words, "I say to you, rejoice in the Lord always"? And again, I say rejoice. How could a bunch of Israelites stand for hours at the reading of the Word of God and be so filled and say, "Amen, amen, amen," that Nehemiah says, "Hey, now go home and celebrate this. Have a feast. Take the gift of God's Word and don't forget that joy that you have received from the Word, that is your strength." You see, we live in a world today that the word happiness is trying to replace the word joy. They have nothing in common. Happiness are things that are temporary. Happiness comes and goes. She's one happy child, isn't she? Happiness comes and goes. I'm depicting a situation. See, if Paul only had near happiness when he was in prison, could he have written, hey, be joyful no matter your circumstance? Hey, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's a difference. And on the third Sunday in Advent, we're looking at the true meaning, the true understanding, the message of joy. Nehemiah had it right. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Paul had it right, because Paul had something in his life that didn't matter about the situation he's going through. He says, hey, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Watch this video about joy.
The word peace is common in most languages. People talk about peace treaties on the top. So let's say you wanted to...
That's last week?
What did you do? Stop that.
How many remember what peace is? We talked about last week.
It didn't show up on there.
Hold on.
If you have peace, you have what?
Double click it again.
Shalom.
There you go.
But what peace is you said before?
Really great. And most languages, the word peace is common in most languages.
Stop. Hold on. I don't think the videos are good.
It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also...
Let's not worry about it. It's been a wonderful, challenging day with AV today. But that's okay, because we have the word of the Lord here. Right? Amen. So what is joy? Joy is not happiness. Joy is the Lord. Joy is strength. Joy, when we understand it, is good news. It's great news. It's never-ending joy. Joy is something that once you experience it, you never want to go without. See, we come to those times in our life where we think we're happy, we're fulfilled. But then something happens, a crisis, or a health issue, or a relationship goes south, or you lose your job, or the life starts falling apart, and all of a sudden you walk around. That's why Scripture says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope, put your trust, put your life in God. See, all through life we're going to have circumstances that come our way. All our life we're going to have things that come up and want to beat us down. But when we know joy, we can overcome those areas of our life. We can overcome the circumstances of our life. We can overcome the difficulties. Are they still difficult? Yes. May there still be pain and suffering? Yes. But there is that inner joy that cannot be compared to anything when you understand what joy is all about. And when you understand what true joy is. Come, you know that little song, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can you sing it?
Rejoice, rejoice.
And again, I say rejoice. What's that?
Rejoice,
rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Can't hear you.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
What's that?
Rejoice, rejoice.
This is what some of you would like. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh my goodness. If you could see what I saw, you would be thinking, really? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say one more time. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Can you guys go home or use the restroom after church? Don't stand from the mirror and sing it. And see how many of you can actually sing it like you did the first time. You'll always remember that now, won't you? You see, when that first Advent was celebrated, people were waiting for joy to come. And joy was born that first Christmas morning. People who have placed their faith in joy, being Jesus, understand and have a glimpse of the difference between happiness and joy. See, true joy has nothing to do with happiness. True joy has nothing to do with circumstances of life. Joy is Jesus. Joy is the forgiveness of our sin. Joy is salvation. Joy is hope. Joy is peace. Joy is eternal life. Joy is reconciliation with the Father God. Joy is reconciliation with one another. Joy is Jesus, the Savior of the world. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will be great
joy
to all people." The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Joy was born that first Christmas morning, and after that morning, joy is now available to all who would believe. The birth of good news is joy to the world. The shepherds went back to their flock, Scripture says in Luke 2 and verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. The good news of great joy that the angels proclaimed changed the lives of the shepherds. But see, we have this issue with sin, with the holy God. And because of sin, we have this separation from ourselves and God that doesn't allow us to understand or receive joy. You see, the reason behind God sending His one and only Son was to allow us to understand joy. Because the joy is the good news. The good news is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ for all who would believe. So the whole message behind God sending His Son is that for all of mankind to experience true joy, the good news, the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His life. But before any of us ever experiences Jesus and His joy, we're separated from God because of sin. See, God is holy. And anything that's unholy has no business in the presence of a holy God. But Jesus, being the Son of God, perfect, sinless, Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, for those that believe by turning to Him in faith, they then are made right with the Father in heaven. And the moment they're made right with the Father in heaven through their faith, their belief in Jesus, the joy, guess what? God is filled with joy over you. Because you and I have experienced the joy of the world, the good news, the gospel, Jesus Christ.
But many of us in this room have already come to that place in our life where we said, yes, I believe in Jesus. I've, by faith, come to Him. I've turned from the way I was going, and I turned to Jesus as my Savior. But you see, just as our little illustration, many times our joy is not evident. Many times, even as those who are children of the living God, who have experienced Jesus Christ, the joy, many times that joy that we have is anything but evident in our life. And often, those that have faith in Jesus Christ go around just like those that don't have faith in Jesus Christ. You get what I'm getting at? Because we've confused happiness and joy. For the child of God, we have the never-ending joy. But we must consciously and intentionally live in the joy of our Lord as our strength. Yes, when things are difficult, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When life falls apart around you, yes, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you're trapped in something that's taking you down, yes, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you don't know left or right because everything is going crazy, the joy of the Lord is still your strength. You can be like Paul who said, rejoice in the Lord always, even in my bondage, tied up in prison, I'm going to say rejoice in the Lord always, because when you know joy, nothing else matters but Jesus Christ, because He is joy. And we often struggle with that. I struggle with that. I want to be the most joyful person no matter what happens, because I have no other reason but to be. For Jesus is my joy. He's the good news that came and changed this man's life. He's the only worthy, acceptable substitute for my sin. That was Jesus. He's the only one who gave His life for me. The only worthy sacrifice. His blood was the only blood that can wash away my sin. His body was the only body that can be given for me. Not only did He die for me, but hey, church, rejoice. He lives for me. He lives for you because He defeated death and the grave. Death could not even hold joy down. Because joy came that glorious morning that we remember His resurrection on Easter Sunday. And joy is seated at the right hand of the Father. You know what joy does for all of God's children? It says, Father, that's your son. Father, that's your daughter. Hey, Father, they believe in me. Their sins removed from them. He's constantly interceding for all of us at the very throne of the living God because you have placed your faith in Him. But the story is better than that. Because He is joy, because we can experience His joy, because God has joy over us when we turn to Jesus as our Savior, joy says to us, hey, don't worry, I'm coming back. That where I am, you may be also. For in my Father's home are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I've gone to prepare a place for you that when I return, you may come with me. My Father's house. Joy is coming again in the second Advent. Between the first Advent and the second Advent is the opportunity for us to experience never-ending true joy. I often think that as much as lost who haven't turned to Christ need to repent by coming to Him. By the way, repentance is a very misunderstood word. Repentance in the purest form is making a change in your life. So let me give you an example of repentance. I'm walking this way in life. When I repent, I'm going this way in life. By walking this way, my back is toward the cross of Jesus, my Savior. But when I realize I need to repent, I make a change. I stop going in my direction, doing my things, doing what I want to do. And you know what? Jesus did everything for me. There's nothing else I have to do but believe. And I believe by repenting. I say, okay, I turn and I start following Him. I place my faith in Him, I trust in Him, I take my steps in His direction. That's the purest form of repentance. And for those who haven't repented, their back is still toward Jesus. But His love is still there. His joy is still accessible. He's still waiting for you to say, yes, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for your life that you gave for me. But here's the problem. Even those that have come to faith in Jesus as their Savior, many times we're walking in this way with Him, but we're not living our life for Him. We're not experiencing Him in all of His joy. And often I think just as badly as those who are separated need to repent, those who are following Him need to repent. Sometimes we just don't even process or own in our hearts, in our life, all that it means to be a child of the living God. All that it demanded from Jesus. It demanded everything He was so that we could be made right with God and become His righteousness through Jesus Christ. And that's joy. That's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. That's why we can say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When we live and move and have our being in Jesus Christ, we can understand the joy that was born Christmas morning. We live the gospel message. We live the good news. Don't get confused by saying life is going to be easy in those troubled days. If anyone ever tells you that when you come to faith and repent and turn to Jesus, that everything is going to be a bed of roses, look at them and say, no, thank you. I'm going to someplace else and tell me the truth. How many of you would be bold enough to say, from the time that you come to faith in Christ, life is actually way more difficult than before? It's true. So don't be misled by people to say, oh, once you know Jesus, everything will be great. You know what's the greatest thing that when you trust Jesus? You are now great because your sins have been forgiven. You're a child of the living God. You're a saint. You've been adopted. You have a home being prepared for you in heaven. You have eternal life and every step of it. That's great. That's good news. That's great news. We live in a fallen world where sin is rampant everywhere. Life will be tough. This is where the enemy was kicked out of heaven to roam and to rule and to reign. Our home is where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But as we journey through this life, we can choose to allow the joy of the Lord to be the strength to get us through no matter what comes our way. It's a conscious choice. Just like you chose, hopefully you chose one day to turn to Jesus as your Savior, we can choose to allow His joy to be made complete in our life. We can make that choice because that joy is ours, is His joy. And the joy is good news. Do you know that verse in Matthew that when the Magi, which are the wise guys, when the Magi saw the star, when the Magi saw the star, they said they rejoiced with great joy. They hadn't even seen Jesus yet. But the sign was there, the star was shining, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The New American Standard Bible says, exceeding great joy. So church, this Advent season, on this third Sunday of Advent, as we're longing for a second Advent, I encourage all of us to to check the joy meter. Are you depleted of this joy? Is the heart of this joy fill you and be your strength? Is it hard to rejoice in the Lord always? Can you rejoice again? See, we've been given a great comforter. We've been given a great guide. We've been given a great sealer in our lives, the name of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God lives in these temples the moment every one of us receives Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And the Spirit wants to fill us with exceeding great joy. He never leaves us. He can speak into us. He can lead us in our life. He can allow us to choose joy over defeat. He can allow us to choose joy over happiness. He can allow us to make sure that joy is complete in our life because the Word of God, the Spirit of God, has made us complete and we have joy. And you know, when we talk about Christmas, sometimes it's the most non-joyful time of the year. But Jesus is joy, and it's his birth for celebration. And he is joy to all who believe. He's hope for all who believe. He's peace for all who believe. Do you believe this Christmas? Do you know him as joy in your life? If you don't know his joy as your Savior, the joy of the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave. God gave Jesus as the greatest gift ever, and Jesus is joy. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, I don't care how young you are, how old you are, what walk of life you're from, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but he sent him to save the world. And the moment Jesus breathes his last breath on the cross, the forgiveness of sins was given to all mankind. Have you received the gift of forgiveness yet by turning to Jesus? If not, there's no better time than right now today to right where you're seated. Nobody needs to hear you. It's between you and God to where you're seated from your heart that you may say something like this. God, today, I repent and I turn to Jesus and believe in him as the joy of my life and as my Savior. And if one of you or many of you said that prayer today, you are now a child of living God. Your sin has been removed from you. You've been adopted to his family. You have life everlasting. You will never leave. You will never end. You'll always be with him. And now you've got to make sure people see that joy. This is a great thing to rejoice in. For those of us that have come to faith at some point in our life, maybe it's a day of repentance because we have been living in joy. Maybe we've let everything else control our lives instead of the one who ought to control our lives. See, any time that any of us that know Christ personally allow something else to be in control, we're walking in sin. The only one to be in control of these lives is Jesus Christ and him alone. Anything that's on the throne of our life, anything that consumes us more, anything that takes priority more, is a sin toward the one who lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. If we don't have joy, how will the world ever know that joy was?
was born on Christmas morning. So maybe those of us in this room need to spend time in repentance. Or simply saying, Father, forgive me today for allowing the world to take what rightly is mine from me. Forgive me for allowing the circumstances of life to take the joy out of my life. Forgive me for looking elsewhere but to Jesus to have true joy. You know God's word says about those that repent, those who ask for forgiveness, He forgives. He said, let's get started again, my brother. Let's get started again, my sister. She says, let's do this journey together. Allow me to be that joy that makes you complete. Father, this morning we thank you that Jesus is the joy of the world. We thank you that Jesus is the joy in the believer's life. We thank you that joy is available to all who would believe and repent. We thank you that through your joy in our life, we have strength. May we be like those that gathered at that water gate in Nehemiah, that when we hear your word, we are overwhelmed and filled with great joy. We understand that you, the word, was made flesh. That the word itself, Jesus, came. And in Jesus, you are the strength of our life. May we learn from the life of Paul, who had so much going against him, but even encouraged the church, encouraged us today, despite the circumstance he was in, that we can have joy, that we can rejoice in the Lord always, and even again, rejoice.